The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 30 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you are serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It is important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close. If you are a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective. My aim is to teach you how. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on James, J-A-M-E-S, at endtimeissueministries.org. Today, we're going to look at where will you spend eternity? Part 6 of that subject. Overview of today's broadcast. We're looking at what is required in order for you to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. We will continue to look at how do we overcome what is the price. In doing this, we will look at a selection of very challenging Bible verses and particularly challenging sayings of Yeshua, incorrectly called Jesus. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. This is the sixth part in the series. There's probably about another six to come. The original document is about 70 pages. I'm really digging deep on this because it's so, so important. So this is based on the article 2024-0103, Where Will You Spend Eternity? With Commentary on the Final Quest, 3rd edition, and this is part 6. The original article was written in about 2003. So we're continuing to look at how do we overcome? What is the price? What follows highlights some important points. In Matthew 6:19-21, Yeshua states, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is referring to the same principles addressed previously. what Yeshua is saying here is there is really no point in laying up worldly wealth if you don't do things that benefit Yah. So I'm touching on those things in this broadcast. I touch on things on the website. But basically what we're looking at is, what are you doing to earn yourself a place of high esteem in heaven? And if the answer to that is, I'm not sure, or I don't think I am, then you might want to rethink. Because this is your opportunity to make a huge difference on the earth. We're advised to do works that will withstand the fire and that will result in us being overcomers on the day of judgment. In considering this, it is important to consider that very word, overcomer, implies that there will be adversity and that it will not be easy. The reward is so great precisely because it is not easy. So, the world is dominated by satanic and demonic forces. Satanic being messengers, angels that followed Satan when he rebelled. Demonic being demons, ancestor spirits, the spirits of human beings who did not serve Yah, who did not believe in Yah, and who died on earth as unbelievers. And currently there's over 100 billion of those. So the world is crawling with demons. It's crawling with satanic messengers. What are you doing to combat that? What are you doing to bring the kingdom of Yah to earth? What are you doing to bring joy to your Father in heaven? What are you doing to change the status quo? Right now, there is a vanishingly small number of people who are truly close to Yah on the earth today. There are not many more who, at some modicum, are serving Him. It's no more than a few hundred thousand, and perhaps another million or so, who at some level believe in Him. And then another chunk who believe but do nothing about it and end up as in the outer darkness. So you might want to think about that. It's important to recognize that the reward that Yeshua received was so great precisely because it is not easy to live a life without sin, to please the Father, to do the Father's will all the time, and then to die a terrible and agonizing death by choice. So when Yeshua tells us in Matthew or Matiyahu, chapter 10, verse 38, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Mark chapter 10, verse 21, and Luke 14:27, that we should take up our stake, incorrectly cross, and follow Him, it is prudent to take His advice seriously. And when I refer to that, Yeshua is seated on the right hand of the Father in heaven. He is massively glorious and massively powerful. He can follow multiple conversations on earth simultaneously. He can be in multiple locations on earth simultaneously. He can do mighty works, but He's constrained because, like Yah, He has to work through human beings. So the question is, will you be a human being through which Yah and Yeshua can work? Or will you just potter along doing whatever it is that you've been doing up till now and then be very, very disappointed when you die and you realize what you might have been? Consider particularly Matiyahu, Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. And then said Yahushua incorrectly Jesus unto his disciples, his followers. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his stake, his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his messengers or angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. This entire passage contains a number of very profound and very challenging statements. In 1994, with a group of men in Malawi, Father spoke through me to each one of the four of us for about 20 minutes through my mouth. And he called me to the death of the cross. I didn't know about the stake in those days. That seemed quite prestigious at the time. But I have to tell you, it's not fun. But I sincerely believe that there is a significant reward waiting for me when I die, if I can run the race to completion and not lose it. And it's there for you. There's nothing that I've done that you couldn't do, well, apart from sending Satan to the pit, I guess. But you are able to qualify to sit on a high throne next to Yeshua or close to Yeshua or certainly in a high throne if you put your back into it, if you do what's needed in order to qualify for that situation. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are, you can start today. We're told to deny ourselves, take up our stake, and follow, do like Yeshua. So follow has got a connotation that a lot of people miss. Do like Yeshua. Live your life like Yeshua. Get full of the Spirit of Yah and go out and do things on the earth to change things on the earth. We're told that if we try to save our lives in a worldly way, we will lose our souls, and we're told that there's something we can give in exchange for our souls, the essence of what this message is about. We're told that Yeshua will come and we will be rewarded according to our works. If one really considers deeply what this is saying, it's profoundly challenging. Take up your stake, incorrectly cross, and do like Yeshua. Make a difference on the earth. Right now, I suspect you might agree with me if I say that the world is in a pretty right mess. And there's every indication that it's going to get a lot worse. And there's really not much indication that it's ever going to get better. Father said to me some time ago that in 200 years, if nothing changes, the world will be as dark as during the darkest times of the Dark Ages. Wars, persecution, pogroms, inquisitions, wars, nuclear wars. Are you happy for that to happen? Do you feel there's nothing you can do about it? I'm telling you, there is something you can do about it, and that's what this message is about at some level. I've certainly come to understand increasingly that what I've understood about this passage and many of the others quoted in this document on which this is based was very shallow, and that there's much more that is expected of us. The piece about he who seeks to save his life shall lose it, I've found to be much more far-reaching. It applies to anything that we seek to hold on to in our own strength, our possessions, our family, anything that we try and force to remain with us rather than trusting the Almighty to either restore it to us or not, as he pleases. Last week, I took a bit of a detour and talked about the anointing, and I talked about the manifestations of the anointing on somebody who has really got close to Father. Talked about divine guidance. I talked about divine healing. I talked about divine wisdom and so many other attributes of one who is really close to Father and filled with His Spirit. And I made the point that that is available to you. If you read the article on seven components of drawing close, if you do everything that I'm advising you to do, you can come to a place of deep connection with the Creator and great power and authority, such that you can change things. If you've ever heard of the Welsh Revival or the Revival from Azusa Street or other major revivals, but those two in particular, it is available to you to impact the earth greater than was the case with either of those two men. So, a few examples. Abraham sacrificing Isaac and Yeshua laying down his life are two classic examples. Isaac was restored to Abraham and Yeshua gained eternal life and the highest throne in heaven next to the throne of the Almighty through his obedience. In order to start seeking to better understand what is being referred to here, consider again Matthew 6:19-21, referred to above, where Yeshua advises us to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. This passage is preceded by Matthew 5:1-6, and then 1:6, and then verse 18, and so I'm just sharing selected verses. And seeing the multitudes, Yeshua went up into a mountain, and when he was sat, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of Yah. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, the commandments, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the commandments, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So, how do you want your life to pan out? Would you like to be called great in the kingdom of heaven? Or do you want to be least? And there's another verse which says that people can do mighty works in the name of Yeshua and they come before the judgment seat and they say, "Adonai, Adonai." And he looks at them and says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." So if you are using the names God, the Lord, Jesus, the grace for those errors is long since gone. The Lord correctly is Yah, the eternally self-existing. God is correctly the Almighty. Jesus is correctly Yahushua, Yahoo-Shua. Yah is salvation. If you're not using those correct names and you're worshipping Jesus and worshipping the Bible, going to have a really unpleasant shock when you get to heaven, assuming you get there. And continuing, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Have you ever tried that? It's a challenge. All the verses that begin, blessed are very challenging, particularly the verse about blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. We're told there's a great reward for this. So what are we saying? If you are really going out of your way to serve Yah, to preach his good news, to tell people the real truth, it's likely that people aren't going to like you very much because you're going to be threatening their demonic comfort zones. There are many other passages above that are very difficult, like loving your enemies, turning the other cheek, etc. Then consider also Ephesians 5:22-25. Wives, submit unto your husbands as unto Yah, the eternally self-existing. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as the anointed one, Christ or Yeshua, is the head of the body of believers, the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the body of believers, the church, is subject unto the anointing of the set-apart Spirit of Yah, Christ, not Yeshua, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as the anointed one, Christ, Yeshua, also loved the body of believers, church, and gave himself for it. So wives are told to submit to their husbands in everything, and husbands are told to love their wives the way Yeshua loved the body of believers and gave himself for it. In other words, wives, submit to your husbands even if they beat you, and husbands, love your wives even if they strive with you and beat you. So it's reciprocal. There is huge error in so many societies on earth today about the way men put women down and treat them badly and force them to dress in ways that are demeaning, quite frankly, from where I sit, that won't allow them to be educated, that won't allow them to have good jobs, that beat them, that this female genital mutilation. It's horrible, folks, what men are doing to women all over the world, even in so-called civilized societies, whatever that means. They treat women badly a lot of the time. Consider also 1 Peter 2:1-3, and then 1 Peter 2:1-3, again selected verses. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify Yah in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for Yah, the eternally self-existing sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of Yah, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, a lot of believers, particularly Christians, don't get that particular piece. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, whether it be to the king or the president or the prime minister, or unto governors or members of parliament, or government officials, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. There's something you need to understand. There are a lot of good people on earth who are not serving Yah. And if you're a believer, you're required to obey the laws of your country. And if you really have a problem with that and the laws are unjust, well then, it's a problem, it's a challenge. You might see if you can go somewhere else. Then servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards Yah endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with Yah. For even hereunto were ye called, because the Anointed One, Christ, equivalent to Yeshua, also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It's heavy stuff, folks. How much of this are you compliant with? I've been walking this road for 31 years, nearly. And I have to say, when I reread this article, I kind of get the nasty sense that I'm not doing as well as I could be. It's a big thing. Man for conscience towards Yah endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but to the froward, the bad-tempered, the unreasonable, the unjust, and so forth. And there's a principle there that if you are in submission, you can change things. In chapter 3, 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. Even verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abram, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. It's a pretty robust set of requirements here. I wonder how well you score. It's a lot of men who take wives be in subjection to their husbands and completely misinterpret it. Touched on this a minute ago. It's close to my heart. I am very clear that there are many more women in heaven than men, that there are a lot of men in heaven who are under the authority of women, and that there is a huge amount being done on earth against women that is absolutely unconscionable. Verse 14, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. For it is better if the will of Yah be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For the Anointed One, Christ, Yeshua, also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Yah, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Again, some enormously challenging verses. We're advised to follow Yeshua and to suffer for doing good, no matter how unjustly we're treated. Now, there's a point here. Don't go out of your way looking for suffering. It is possible to walk in the fullness of the power of the Spirit of Yah. With full protection, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in unrighteous judgment will be refuted. Your messengers encamp around me to protect me. You don't necessarily, if you are free of sin, you don't necessarily have to have all these things. The thing about Yeshua that you need to realize is he went out of his way. He came to earth to die the way he died. He went out of his way in the last 6-12 months of his ministry to get up the noses of the high priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the doctors of the law, etc. He called them vipers. He called them whitewashed walls. He overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple. He provoked them to kill him. Because he had to die that way in order to fulfill his mission on earth. Returning to the verses we've just read, wives are advised to submit to their husbands without a word, even if their husbands treat them the way Yeshua was treated when he was taken prisoner and put to death. So wives arguing with, questioning, or judging their husbands is not an option. We're all advised to submit to the authorities, whether they're just or unjust. So believers opposing the government of the day, other than democratically, or condemning the government of the day, or leading protest marches or freedom fighters, does not fit. There's a big component embedded in all of this, which relates simply to unconditional love, chesed, covenant love. And as I've said, there's a reciprocal clause. Husbands, chesed, love your wives as Yeshua loved the church, the assembly, the body of believers. Remember, it was the church, the formal religious orders that were responsible for Yeshua being murdered. It wasn't some ragtag bunch of whatever. It was the church. That dragged him before Pilate and demanded his execution, that beat him. So, husband, love your wife, even if she drags you before the authorities and beats you and demands a death sentence for you. It's reciprocal. You can't treat your wife badly and then expect Yah to be pleased with you. So those of you who are doing that, I suggest you wake up, because you've got a serious problem. We call to unconditional chesed, covenant love, to wife, to husband, to neighbors, to enemies. There are no excuses, no explanations, no justifications, only chesed, love. Note that love is more correctly covenant love, or chesed in Hebrew, summed up by Yeshua's words on the stake, incorrectly cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you say that with regard to the people who've treated you badly? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:33-34. And when they came to the place which is called Golgotha, incorrectly Calvary, there they executed him on a stake, incorrectly crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Yeshua, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So think about it. He's been brutally beaten, lashed until the flesh was peeling off his back, crown of thorns rammed into his head, coarse, crude pieces of steel hammered through his hands and his feet, hanging there in anguish, naked, bleeding, thirsting, tormented. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13, defines charity or covenant love. The Greek word is agape, the Hebrew word is chesed. Again, selected verses, verse 4. Chesed suffereth long and is kind. Chesed envieth not. Chesed vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Chesed never dies, never fails. But whether there shall be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In many respects, the verses 4 to 7 that I've just read summarize much of what has been presented in the last few minutes. Suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, is not puffed up, does not behave unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Chesed never dies, it never fails. So if a man and woman make love, covenant love within a covenant relationship, incorrectly marriage, that love will last forever, for eternity, even when they're in heaven. And if you join yourself to an unbeliever, you might end up in heaven, deeply in love with a person who's on earth as an ancestor spirit or demon, trapped in their grave. You don't want to get involved sexually with unbelievers. Much of this may seem simple. One may even pay lip service to many of these principles. However, in my own experience, I very seldom manage to walk in much of this for very long, and it increasingly is apparent that most believers experience the same difficulty. This becomes particularly apparent when one chooses to walk in the difficult truths that not many people are talking about, and then finds oneself being attacked verbally and spiritually. Think about it, folks. There's a chunk of what I've read out in the last few 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes, spoken by Yeshua, a man who died a terrible death. It's mind-boggling to imagine him hanging there, pull himself up so that he can breathe, and the pain, the agony, he lets go, and then the agony on his feet, and he pushes up, up, down, gasping for breath, bleeding, ridiculed, reviled. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Check it out. Fundamentally, it seems that the essence of this message is about really understanding why those sit on high thrones for eternity are referred to as overcomers. grasping what that means in one's own life, at least at some basic level, and then choosing to live life that way anyway, which means first and foremost praying prayers like, Father, please show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. We pray that every night. Father, please judge me severely and correct me harshly so that I may serve you more perfectly. I pray that every night. It's in my email signature. It's on the website. If you really are serious about serving Yah, that is a really important prayer to pray. Trust Yah that you won't be judged beyond what you can endure. I've had some judgments, a couple of motor car accidents of various severity, a couple of fractured teeth in one case, went septic and intense agony for nearly a week before it was correctly treated. Wakes you up. Makes you decide to stay on track. And then, Father, please help me to lead a life that is pleasing to you in every way, every day. Help us to bring you joy. We pray that every day. If you pray those three prayers, it'll help to get you on track. It might take a bit of time. It might take some somewhat unpleasant experiences, but it'll get you on track. So that's all I have time for today. I will continue with this teaching next week. As I say, I think there's probably about another 6 or 7 broadcasts following through on the subject, where will you spend eternity? So I'd like to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day? And allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. I have to say to you, Father wants you, whoever you are, to become His friend. Whether you're rich or poor, tall or short, thin or fat, educated or uneducated, whether you're a Satanist, a witch, a warlock, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist, Baha'i, Hindu, whatever. Whether you're some variation of any of the above. Father wants you to become His friend. He will meet you where you are. Reach out to Him right now and say, Father, you are, James says, I can become your friend. I desire to become your friend. I desire to make a difference on this earth. I desire to do things that are pleasing to you. Help me to get there. Bring people across my path who can help me. Bring me to readings that can help me. Help me to worship you. Help me to pray. Help me to find out about you. I will help you. Just drop me an email. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. One word, Endtime Issue Ministries. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. So if you've listened to me for the first time today, I'd ask you just to stay behind and I'll share a bit more information with you. if you've been listening for a while, as you would know, I'm going to say good night or good morning or good afternoon or whatever it is in your part of the world to you just about now. And I'd like to thank you for listening. And take a chance. Go to Father and say, Father, I want to know you. You could say you want to know him like I know you, know him. You could say you want to know him like Yeshua knew him when he was on earth. Be bold. And then be prepared to make sacrifices. Be prepared to put some hard yards in terms of prayer and praise and worship, etc. Think about it. So to those of you who are going to drop off now, good night. For those of you who are here for the first or second time, please hang on a moment. Thanks so much. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor in preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe, near the top of the website. Please visit the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for a lot of information. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors and commentary at the ETI Bible version. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are on search on Google for quote relationship with Creator Radio unquote. There are about four podcast websites with all the back issues, and also transcripts on the transcripts of broadcasts page and more recent broadcasts on YouTube and LinkedIn. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 at the Books for Printing page. I publish regular email articles. Email me and James at endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's a lot of information there, folks. Help you to get going. Answers to probably a lot of your questions. And if they can't find the answer on the website, email me. Thank you so much. Been a pleasure to have you on the program. And I hope to hear from you soon. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you, where will you spend eternity? I want to ask you if you know what is required to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. Or did you know that it's possible to sit on a high throne for eternity? If you're not actively seeking a high throne for eternity, you're missing the point of your existence. Please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com radio or talk4tv.com. Visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Cheerio.